A summary of the laws of Pesach, laws relating to kashering, part 1. The laws of kashering vessels are complex and hence should only be done by one who is expert in these laws. One must be aware of the following details. Number 1, is the vessel made of a kasherable material? Number 2, how has the vessel been used in the past, which will determine what form of kashering it is required to have, done to it, libun, hagalah, etc. Number 3, what must one do if the vessel is rusty? Number 4, how does one do libun? Number 5, how does one do hagalah? Number 6, may the vessel be ben yemei? Number 7, must the vessel one is kashering in and of itself be kashered? Number 8, how long must the vessel remain in the water by hagalah? Number 9, may many vessels be kashered simultaneously? Number 10, may one kasher an Erev Pesach or Pesach itself? So you will now begin a summary of the various detailed questions that we just finished mentioning. Number 1 is regarding what should one do with chametz vessels that one does not plan to kasher at all. So it states in the Poskim that all chametz vessels which one does not plan to kasher for Pesach are to be nonetheless cleaned from chametz. One is to scrub them and slightly rinse them down from any recognizable chametz. One is then to hide the vessels in an area which he is not accustomed to enter throughout Pesach. It is proper to then lock that area and hide the keys, in order to prevent any possibility of entering there during Pesach. Those who are accustomed to place the chametz vessels in a high area that's hard to reach have upon whom to rely, even though they're technically not hidden from sight. All vessels that are not cleanable from chametz are to be sold to a Gentile and stored, as we stated above. Do new vessels need to be kashered? So new vessels which are bought from a Gentile, such as one bought a new pot from the store, for the sake of Pesach, do not need to be kashered, as it has never before been used for food. Nonetheless, some are accustomed to be stringent today and kasher all new vessels that they purchase, due to worry that perhaps during the processing, a non-kosher for Pesach oil or fat was smeared onto the metallics material. While many Paiskim rule that this is not a worry and there's no need to kasher them, some are nonetheless accustomed to do so, and this is the widespread custom in Eretz Yisrael and of the Mahadran kasherus agencies. Now let's discuss the forms of kashering. The Torah taught us a great rule known as Kaboile Kach Poltei, that the same way that the Isser enters the vessel, that is the way it is to be removed. There are thus a number of different forms of kashering that are done to kasher a vessel based on its use. The following are the different levels of kashering for a 5 in total. Number 1, Libun Chamer. Number 2, Libun Kal. Number 3, Hagalah. Number 4, Irei with Erev and Melubun. And number 5, Hadacha. We will now begin discussing each one. Libun Chamer, also known as Libun Gomer, is defined as torching the vessel until sparks fly from it, or alternatively until a sheet of its metal peels off. This can also be determined by when the metal turns red hot, which is approximately equal to 900 degrees Fahrenheit and 460 degrees Celsius and above. Libun Kal. Libun Kal is defined as torching the vessel until its opposite side becomes Yatziledes. When burning chametz from a rusty area or crack, the custom is to do so until the point that a piece of straw would burn if it were to be placed on the other side, and this is equivalent to Libun Kal. Hagalah. Hagalah is defined as entering the vessel into a pot of boiling water, which entails many details, which we will discuss in a further lesson. Irei with Evan Melubun. Irei with Evan Melubun refers to pouring hot water from a klirishon onto the item and then passing throughout the entire item a red-hot stone or metal, hence causing the water to boil. There are two very practical ways today of how to do Irei with Evan Melubun. One is by using an iron. A hot iron which causes the water to boil may be used instead of a hot stone. Hence, when koshering through Irei with Evan Melubun, one is to pour hot water onto the item and then pass the hot iron throughout the entire surface of that item, hence causing the water to boil. When doing so, one must observe when the iron has lost its power of heat to be able to boil the water, and constantly one must reheat the iron to its boiling point. Another way of doing Irei with Evan Melubun is by using a hot water urn, known as a kumkum. Water which is poured from a mini water boiler while the boiler is still on and the water is boiling is considered like both Irei and Evan Melubun, and hence when pouring from such a vessel, there is no need to pass over the surface using a red-hot stone or metal, or iron as we explain. Hadacha. Hadacha refers to kashering through cleaning the vessel very well with even cold water. In Meretz Hashem, in the future lessons on this subject, we will discuss further details of kashering, including when these forms of kashering are to be used, meaning what degree of kashering does my vessel require. This and other details will be covered in the next lesson in Meretz Hashem. A summary of the laws of Pesach, laws relating to kashering, part 2. In the previous lesson, we discussed the various different forms of kashering, and in this lesson, we will further continue with which form of kashering a vessel requires. So the general rule is like this. All vessels that had chametz cooked in them in liquid, such as pasta, if they are made of kasherable material, such as metal, require hagala or liban kal for kashering. If the chametz was baked without liquid in the vessel, such as a baking pan, makes the vessel require liban chamer. Thus, hagala does not suffice for baking pans which were used to bake chametz, such as challahs. Vessels which were never used with hot chametz, but had chametz soak in them for 24 hours, such as a pot which was used to store beer for over 24 hours, requires hagala or liban kal. Let's now discuss which materials can be kashered. So in general, earthenware cannot be kashered unless it is completely reformed through very high heating in an oven. We avoid using earthenware vessels during Pesach, even if the vessels were used only for cold chametz foods. Thus, a crock pot cannot be kashered for Pesach and must be put away if one makes chulent using grains of the five grains. Likewise, all mugs may not be kashered for Pesach if they are ever used for any chametz liquid, such as beer. Unlike the common misconception, wood is kasherable. However, there is an issue with wood that can prevent it from being kashered, and that is cracks and the like, being that the cracks may hold chametz in them. Thus, one should only kasher wood vessels that do not contain any cracks. The custom is not to use any wood vessel that was used with flour or dough during the year, and to simply not kasher them for Pesach. Metal vessels. Metal vessels are a kasherable material, and its form of kashering, whether hagala or liban gomer, is dependent on how it was used with its chametz, as we explained before, regarding if chametz was cooked in water versus if it was baked. Glass vessels. Glass vessels, according to Sfaradim, do not require any koshering and may be used for Pesach after they are cleaned. However, according to Ashkenazim, glass vessels cannot be koshered for Pesach at all, just like earthenware, and therefore they are to be cleaned and put away until after Pesach. If a vessel is coated with glass, then if its coating is in the inside where the food rests, then it cannot be koshered for Pesach according to Ashkenazi custom. If, however, its coating is only on its outside, then if it's not commonly placed over the fire to cook, such as silver vessels, then it can be kashered through hagala. All vessels that have parts that have been glued together cannot be kashered due to worry that one will not do the hagala properly due to worry of the glue melting. We will now go through a list of a variety of items and materials and their kashering status. Aluminum. Vessels made of aluminum can be kashered based on their use, if it was used for cooking chametz or for baking chametz. A baking pan used for baking chametz requires liban chamer. Burners of a stovetop require liban chamer. Ceramic is similar to earthenware and cannot be kashered. China is similar to earthenware and cannot be kashered. Counter material. Counter stone is to be kashered with Iri Kli Rishon on Evan Malubim. This, however, only applies if it's made of solid stone. If, however, it's made of engineered stone or engineered granite, as is very common in today's counters, then it is debated if it is kasherable, and although one is to kasher it, as we stated, it is also to be covered with aluminum foil and the like. Cups. Cups cannot be kashered, according to Ashkenazi custom, even if made of glass, unless they are made of metal, in which case they can be kashered using hagala. Enamel. The custom is not to kasher enamel for Pesach. Thus, in the question of whether a frying pan may be kashered, it depends if it's coated with enamel or Teflon or not. If it is, then we do not kasher it. If it's not coated with it, then it may be kashered based on its use, either with hagala or liban chamer, depending on what it's used for. Grates of a stovetop require liban chamer. A grinder requires hagala. Marble requires hagala. An oven, which is used to bake chametz, requires liban chamer. A kiddush cup requires hagala. Knives. Knives are best not to be kashered for Pesach, although if necessary, it may be kashered. Plastic. It's a dispute amongst Pesachim as to the status of plastic and if it may be kashered, and in general, we try not to kasher it for Pesach, even though in a time of need, one may be lenient. A pot that is not coated with enamel can be kosher through Haggadah. Porcelain. Porcelain is treated like earthenware and cannot be koshered. Pyrex is a dispute amongst Paiskin if it has the same status as glass or is even worse than glass and cannot be koshered, even according to Sfardim. Many Sfardim are lenient. Silverware requires Haggadah. A sink spout is to be cleaned and washed. The sink material, if it's made of enamel, ceramic, glass, or plastic, cannot be koshered. If it's made of metal, then it can be koshered through Eri with Heaven Meluban. Skewers for a barbecue need Liban Gummer. Steel, including stainless steel, cannot require koshering based on their use. A stovetop that's made of enamel cannot be koshered. If it's made of stainless steel, then it can be koshered through Eri Klirishin with Heaven Meluban. Teflon is not a kosherable material. Wood without cracks can be koshered with Haggadah, while wood with cracks cannot be koshered at all. Mirtz Hashem, in the coming lesson, we will continue with further details of the laws of koshering in terms of the various utensils and their detailed laws.
Of a summary of the laws of Pesach, the laws of koshering, part 3. In this lesson, we will review various items and appliances and how they are to be koshered. Forks and spoons are koshered through Haggadah if they are made of kosherable materials such as silver or stainless steel. Knives. It is a mitzvah and a mufcher for all those which have the capability of doing so to buy new knives for Pesach. However, from the letter of the law, one can kosher knives through doing Haggadah by first sharpening the blade of the knife beforehand to remove any rust, and then dipping it in boiling water as done in Haggadah. However, this only applies if there are no crevices between the blade and its handle in which chametz can find its way inside, in which case Haggadah would not help. Cups are to be koshered through Haggadah, with exception to glass cups, according to Ashkenazi custom. A water urn, known as a kumkum, is very difficult to kosher, and therefore one should simply buy a new one for Pesach. This applies even if it was only used for water throughout the entire year. The stove. The stove contains various parts which need to be koshered in the following way. The grates need to have Liban Chamer performed onto them. If one cannot do so, then one has to clean it very well and wrap the grates in thick aluminum that will last throughout Pesach. The burners. The burners are to be cleaned using toothpicks or needles to remove any dirt or food from within the gas holes of the burner. Afterwards, one should turn on the fire for some time to accomplish Liban Kal. The stovetop surface is to be cleaned very well, and one is to then do Eri Klirishin onto it. If the surface is made of non-kosherable material such as enamel, then it must be covered with aluminum. The knobs are to be cleaned well and then either replaced or have them covered. Koshering an electric plate known as a Shabbos plata. So if possible, the best thing is to purchase a new one and not bother with koshering it. In a time of need, however, one may kosher it in the following manner. One is to clean it very well, including the cord and its sides and bottom areas. And after 24 hours from its last use, one is to then turn the hot plate on to its hottest setting for some time and then pour boiling water over it, thus accomplishing Haggadah with Eri Klirishin and Heaven Meluban. One is then to cover the hot plate with a thick piece of tin foil, making sure that there is no safety hazard involved in doing so with this type of electric plate. Koshering an oven. From the letter of the law, an oven requires Liban Chamer, which can be accomplished through a blowtorch or through a self-cleaning cycle which has the oven reach 900 degrees Fahrenheit. If one does not have a blowtorch or self-clean oven, then it really is not kosherable, and one is thus not to use it for Pesach or buy a Pesach oven as an alternative. Nonetheless, in a time of need, there is upon what to rely if one koshers his oven in the following way. One cleans it out very well using a chametz-killing agent such as bleach or oven stain remover. You then wait 24 hours prior to koshering, and you turn the oven on for a period of at least 1 hour to the highest temperature. After the koshering process is complete, one should then cover the walls and floor with aluminum foil. As we stated, those who have a self-cleaning oven in which the temperature reaches above 900 degrees Fahrenheit, it is equivalent to Liban Chamer, and that's all they have to do is simply put it through a self-clean cycle. What's known as a continuous cleaning cycle does not reach this temperature and does not fulfill the requirement of Liban Chamer. How to kosher counters and tables. So all counters and tables which one is accustomed to put hot chametz pots directly on top of should be koshered through Eri Klirishin and Heaven Meluban. This can be accomplished by pouring boiling water onto the counter using a kumkum while it is still on and boiling, or alternatively through pouring boiling water and using a hot iron to then pass through the surface and cause the water to boil. A table, which is always used with the tablecloth and never has a hot chametz pot directly placed on top of it, does not need to be kashered at all. Either way, whether it needs to be kosher or does not need to be kosher, the custom is to always cover it with tinfoil or PVC and the like, whether it be a table or a counter, even if it was kosher. Although from the letter of the law, if it was kosher, then it doesn't need to be covered, and if it was covered, then it doesn't need to be kosher. Nonetheless, we do both. Tablecloths. It's best to buy new tablecloths for Pesach. Nevertheless, from the letter of the law, one can technically kosher a tablecloth that he uses during the year through simply washing it in the washing machine using hot water and laundry detergent. The fridge. The fridge is kosher through cleaning it with cold water and soap or bleach and the like. One must take special care to wash well the elastic area from the chametz crumbs. That's referring to the area that surrounds the door of the fridge for insulation. A suggested form of cleaning is to use Q-tips that is dipped in bleach. One should remember to perform bedikas chametz to his fridge at night prior to entering Pesach foods into it and prior to covering its shelves. As we mentioned, even though once it's been koshered and cleaned, it doesn't need to be covered, the custom is to anyways, in addition, also cover the shelves of the fridge. One is to remember to clean the electric cord of the fridge that enters into the outlet. And of course, clean the outside of the fridge, the door, the handle, etc., which are touched all the time with chametz hands. Koshering the sink. Whether or not a sink can be kosher depends on its material. If it's made of stainless steel, in which it can be koshered through pouring boiling water over it, or if it's made of porcelain or enamel, in which it cannot be koshered. Nevertheless, whether it can or cannot be koshered, one should always do iri klirishin on the sink, and if it's not kosherable, then one is to insert into it a sink insert which will be used throughout Pesach. It is advised never to use water that is over yatzei lettuce, 110 Fahrenheit, on Pesach in a sink that's not kosherable, due to different kashrus issues that it can bring up. Thus, one should not turn on the hot water to the point of yatzei lettuce, and is likewise not to pour hot water into the sink. Thus, if, for example, you boiled eggs, wait for the eggs to cool off or add cold water to the pot before you pour the boiling water down the sink. This applies even if a sink insert is inside. If, however, the sink was kashered, such as it's made of stainless steel, then this is not an issue. The spout. The custom is to clean and wash the spouts of the sink, as throughout the year they have been used with hands that are dirty from chametz. One is then to pour boiling water over the spout and leave it open with the hot water running. This is all as an extra hiddur and is not required from the letter of the law. The knobs are to be washed and cleaned. The drain should have boiling water poured through it. In addition, one should add to it bleach or Drano through the drain in order to cleanse any chametz that's inside. The metal strainer that sits in the drain can be koshered through iri klirishin. Koshering a microwave. It is best not to kosher a microwave for Pesach and simply to purchase a one for the sake of Pesach. If this is not possible and one needs to use the microwave, then some place can rule that it can be koshered through first cleaning it very well, not using it for 24 hours, and then have water with bleach placed in it and heat it for about 10 to 20 minutes until it steams out. Teeth, fillings, and braces. Natural teeth without fillings do not need to be koshered, as they are not considered to absorb any chametz. Nonetheless, the custom is, before seis man achilas chametz, for one to brush his teeth well and get rid of any chametz crumbs that remains from the fruit he ate. Those who have fillings, and certainly those who have fake teeth, are accustomed to swish in their mouths hot water from a kli sheni, obviously not too hot of a temperature that will cause him a burn or pain, nonetheless hot enough that it is common that he would drink it, in order to, so to say, kosher it in the same way that it was used. Nonetheless, from the letter of the law, there's much room to be lenient and say that even fillings and fake teeth do not need to be koshered at all. Though practically, the custom is to be stringent, as we stated. Simply to clean the teeth before the end of the fifth hour of the day in Erev Pesach, seif zman achilas chametz, and swish them with water, hot water from a kli sheni. Regarding braces, this is a little bit more complex, being that it's very common for chametz to get stuck in between, and it is difficult to clean. If possible, it's best to have them removed by a dentist, cleaned, and koshered. However, being that this is very difficult to accomplish, most simply suffice with cleaning them to the best of their ability and following the order we mentioned above of sprinkling hot water in their mouth in order to cleanse it and kosher it. Dentures, which are removable teeth, are to be removed, cleaned, and koshered. You clean them to the best of your ability, and put them in boiling water, or the hottest temperature water that will not cause them any damage. Emir Tashem, in the coming and final lesson on kashering, we will discuss the proper way, a summary of the laws of Pesach. Laws of Kashering, Part 4, laws dealing with how to do Haggalah. Since the laws of Haggalah involve many details, it should only be done by one who is expert in its details, which we will now enumerate. Let's begin regarding when Haggalah should be done. So everyone should try to perform Haggalah to whatever vessels can have Haggalah performed to them to kasher them prior to the fifth hour of the day of Erev Pesach, which is prior to Seif Zman, Achilas Chametz. Some meticulous individuals are accustomed to perform Haggalah 3 days before Pesach. There are various halachic ramifications regarding if one does the Haggalah after Seif Zman Achilas Chametz, and therefore one should make sure to do so beforehand. Cleaning the vessels prior to Haggalah. Prior to Haggalah, one must make sure to remove any rust, dirt patches, and the like that are on the vessels, as the Haggalah must be done purely to the vessel material without any intervention in between. If one cannot remove the rust by hand, then one needs to burn that area using a flame until the other side becomes yatzeledes or begins to scorch a piece of paper that is placed there in its exterior. It is not necessary to remove the rust that is on the outside of the vessel, and is also not necessary to remove stain rust, meaning a rust-colored stain, if there is no actual substance to the rust. If the vessel has a crack in it, then Haggalah does not help for such a vessel unless one does libun with a flame to the area of the crack. This, however, only applies if the crack is in the inside of the vessel. If it's in the external part of the vessel, then libun does not have to be performed to it and one can do a regular Haggalah. The company trademark that is on the vessel needs to be cleaned very well due to worry that perhaps there's chametz stuck in between the crevices. Vessels which have paint on them should not be kashered, being that it is difficult for the absorbed chametz to leave the areas of the walls of the pot where the paint is. This, however, only applies if it is in the inside of the pot, just as we explained regarding rust. After cleaning the vessel must then be dried prior to doing Haggalah to it. Let's now discuss the Haggalah water. The water used for Haggalah must be boiling. It does not suffice for it to simply be the heat of Yatzeledes. Furthermore, the water must remain boiling when the vessel is dipped into it. The water stopped boiling after one vessel, then one must wait for it to reboil before placing into it another vessel. Regarding how long the vessel needs to be placed into the water for, the custom is to place it in momentarily and then immediately take it out. Nonetheless, the Alter Rebbe concludes that one should leave the vessel in the water for a slight amount of time in order to allow the taste that's absorbed in it to be properly removed after the heat is let to penetrate the vessel's thickness. It is not proper to kosher many vessels at a time, such as in a cloth or a sack, as if the vessels touch each other, Haggalah does not help in those areas. Regarding if the vessel may be kashered through Haggalah if it is still ben yeme, which means it still is within 24 hours from its last use. So the answer is that from the letter of the law, when kashering prior to the fifth hour of the day, on Erev Pesach, it does not need to be not ben yeme, meaning even a ben yeme vessel is valid to be kashered. Nonetheless, the custom is to make sure that all the vessels that are kashered before Pesach from chametz are no longer ben yeme, which means that they have not been used for hot chametz within the past 24 hours. However, if they were used for cold chametz, and the chametz didn't soak in it for 24 hours, then it is fine to simply clean it and then perform Haggalah to it, even though it was used for cold chametz within the 24 hours. Immediately after Haggalah is performed to the vessel, the custom is to wash the vessel in cold water immediately afterwards. Now, a final note regarding the Haggalah vessel. The vessel that is used to do the Haggalah is usually a large pot. This pot, if it has been previously used for chametz, customarily needs to have its own Haggalah performed to it before you kasher in it, even if 24 hours have already passed from its last chametz use. Now, how does one accomplish Haggalah to the Haggalah pot before he does Haggalah with the other vessels into it? This is through filling it up with water until the water reaches a boiling point, and then throwing into it a heated piece of metal such as a heated iron, meaning a piece of iron, such as the top part of a hammer. This then causes the water to overflow over the sides of the pot and considers the pot to have had Haggalah done to it. One must then spill out this water and reboil the water in it for the sake of koshering. If one wishes to then use this pot for Pesach, he needs to re-kosher it again in the same way we said before, through putting in a red-hot iron material into the hot boiling water and having it overflow. For all further details on this matter, please refer to our corresponding article and Sefer.
Thank you for listening to ShulchanAruchHarav.com. Our free services of making Torah knowledge available to the public depends on donors like you. Please help us continue our work through making even a small contribution at ShulchanAruchHarav.com under the Daily Halacha Dedication section or in the subscription page. Also, check out our online courses and many Sepharim available for purchase that will both enhance your Torah knowledge and help support our work.